did it. Now we're gonna slowly stop the music from playing. Or we just gonna stop it. And we stop. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Banter with Jabisa and with Tracy and Jabisa with special guests. It is June the 26th, 2026. And we're so excited. We're going to cross our fingers right now. It is not quite storming, but we've got some rainy weather here. And I'm hoping that my electricity is not knocked out. Because we're a one and done kind of some gals. We're not everything you hear, guys. This is live and recorded. We don't splice, we don't dice, we don't make no corrections.
You get what you get.
You get what you get. But we're excited about today's podcast because we're looking at talking about stats. So I found his name is Joshua Doss. That's his name, Joshua Doss. So if you're looking to follow somebody on Instagram who I absolutely love, is Joshua Doss, and he talks about statistics and numbers. So we're going to look at some stats. We're going to talk about how words matter, the words we use, how they matter. We have a governor's race in November. Of course, everybody has a governor's race in November, but we have a governor's race in November where we may elect the first Black governor of South Carolina, which is hugely significant considering that the majority of the importation of slavery occurred in South Carolina. And at one time, there were probably more enslaved people in South Carolina than slave owners. Rick Chow, and then ADHD in adults. So we're going to start with stats. So there's a lot of information that's been put out via media. And when we were growing up, Gail, it was primarily television.
Right.
It was television. So when we would watch television, the stats would come out. And one of the things that came out, I remember, and Gail, you credit Ronald Reagan for the Black on Black crime. Is that correct?
Yes, he was a big proponent of pushing that narrative, Black on Black crime.
And so, and I think, unfortunately, and I'm guilty of it, I imagine, I'm assuming you are as well, we hear these things, but we don't question it. So they talk about Black on Black crime, and I remember that being said, and even now it's being said, as if we're the only people committing crimes.
Right.
And so, and I have to say, there's some things about social media that's really great and some things that are not. But one of the things is that it makes you kind of have another perspective and a viewpoint. And so somebody on social media talked about, we talk about Black on Black crime, but nobody says white on white crime.
Right.
It happens. So, you know, this notion, when you just make reference to Black on Black crime, it gives people the idea, the imagery that the only people committing crimes are Black people. And we don't have a monopoly on anything in the United States. So I went and I pulled the statistics for Black on Black crime and white on white crime. And somebody said something that was very true when you talk about crime just in general. So this is based on the Bureau of Justice Statistics and the FBI. So it's based on the Bureau of Justice Statistics and the FBI investigation. So it's these two government resources that have work together to come up with these stats. And I had to really kind of look for this one. This was not an easy find, I must tell you that. It says that when you're talking about Black on Black crime, it's 55.8%. When you're talking about white on white crime, it's 40.8%. So there's no monopoly. I mean, it's not that big of disparity between white on white crime and Black on Black crime. I think one of the things that makes the Black on Black crime higher is the proximity. The proximity of any group of people will cause that crime on crime. But the fact that you have more areas where you have Black people together in large groups is true, where that may not be the case. So when you think about public housing, you will have public housing areas where there'll be hundreds of families, all Black in one area. You don't necessarily have those kinds of public housing setups for white folks. So
Right.
just by proximity, the likelihood of crime happening against someone of my same race is going to happen. But I say that to say that the disparity is not that great. You know, it's not that great. And we talk about that Black on Black crime with these images, and that's the other thing, you keep putting these images out, but you don't ever talk about white crime or crime in general and put images of white people. So you're left with images of Black people. But let me tell you the irony of that as we're talking, Gail. If you go back and look at anything that was produced in the what 40s and 50s, and they show these films and anything, it's as if there was only white America.
Right.
If you go, it's crazy when you think about it, because every other race and nationality has always existed in America. But those 40s and 50 films give this portrayal of only white people, even though there were Native Americans and there was a large Chinese population in California, and Lord knows good part of Texas was also Latino, but you've dismissed or you've excluded all those groups in those films. But then when you get in the 80s and 90s, every time there's a crime or a negative issue, you can find the Black people to be filmed, but we seem to omit white people in those filmings.
Yeah.
And so that leaves this impression mentally that people were being fed into, that these are the bad people. You know, these are the bad people.
Well, what we see on TV, on the internet, on movies, documentaries, you name it, what we see and what we hear always places, or the majority of the time, the narrative is Black people are thugs, they were drug dealers, it's the whole welfare queen thing. It was a narrative that was purposely created to for political reasons as well, but it also perpetuates the narrative from slavery times, where we are subhuman, we are not as intelligent, we aren't this, we aren't that, we aren't the other. The only thing we're good for, we're like house pets. I'm talking about Black people. So, matter of fact, I saw a clip the other
Oh,
day.
I will come back from house pets, because house pets got treated better than Black
Better.
people.
But I saw a clip. I saw a clip the other day, and they were asking an older white gentleman what, he was alive during slavery time. And they asked him and what they perceived Black people at that time. And he said they were like house pets. They were like
Animals.
animals, right?
Animals. You know,
And
house pet sounds,
that's
it
how we
sounds.
looked at them. We looked at them as if they were just animals and something we had to take care of because they served a purpose.
Right.
So that narrative has been perpetuated even through Reconstruction, even through civil rights. The Black person is subhuman, and whatever we do has to be negative. There's not any positivity about it. Even when we were in beginning to be in film roles. What was her name? Hattie McDaniel. She was like, the only role they had was a maid. And
Well,
she could do it.
I mean, and but she played that part. You know,
She did.
she got an Academy Award with the
She did
first,
it.
yeah. And for all,
However, her talent was far more than playing a maid.
it was. And she played, unfortunately, in the white community or the white film industry, that's what she was limited to. In the Black film industry, she was able to do other things. But there's always been this kind of narrowing of what we can and cannot do, or a narrowing of what they want us to be seen as doing.
Right.
But so those are things that we have to understand as well. We need to know that as Black people, because all of a sudden it does seem like, it's like, oh my God, we're all Black on Black crime all the time. But we're not the only ones. We have, again, we don't have a monopoly on anything. We
Right.
don't have a monopoly on anything. So I
And the
guess.
whole, if I could inject here, the whole narrative that Black people are moving in the neighborhood and it's going to be so much crime. That's false as well. I do not have any statistics on that, but that is false, number one. But that is used The black body is used as a weapon against white people, period. The black people are used as it's weaponized. Let me put it
It is just your existence, you know.
that way.
For there are still, if you can go on any social media, and there'll still be a white woman clearly being filmed by the black man calling the police and talking about how she's being threatened when it is
Right.
happening, but she's still making that call and making those statements. So it, yeah, just the presence itself can be deemed by people, and nobody says that about a white person, like, oh. But we should be fearful. We should always be, and in all honesty, we have been fearful. We just never said it out loud. We never
Right.
called the police and says, I fear for my life.
Right.
So I remember years ago when she's a black politician, she got pulled over and she would not open her door and roll her window down. She says, because she was fearful and
Yes.
people didn't want to take her seriously. But I completely understand, like, our fear of a white person is dismissed, like you shouldn't be fearful, but we should.
Yes. Because
History
we
has.
get killed for pension for little more than any other race when it comes down to police stops.
But history has shown us to be fearful. There's
Yes.
not a time period in American history that you can go through and as a black person say, oh, this was going to be a safe situation when you're amongst a whole bunch of white people. Every
Right.
single time, evidence has, and that's the other thing people don't want to say, evidence.
Evidence.
Evidence. You know,
Evidence.
I had a disagreement with a coworker and she's like, yeah, white officers are being killed. I said, where's the stats? Where's the stats? Because I can pull the stats about the black people being killed by officers. Where's the stats?
Right.
You know, I had a young black male try to tell me that incarceration increased under President Obama. And I said, well, first of all, that wasn't a promise that he ever made. But secondly, that wasn't true. I pulled out the stats. The
Pull
stats
out the stats.
to pull out the stats. And they show that, in fact, under President Obama, incarceration of black males decreased under all the 8 years that he was in
In
office.
office, yeah.
I know this isn't on our list, but oh my God, did you see any of the dedication for his library
I
last
saw
week?
some of it. Yes.
Just
They did a good job with that. They did a really good job.
love it. I love it, love it, love it. I love it. And I love seeing Clinton and the Clintons, and I love seeing the Bush. And I don't care what anybody says, that Bush man, that man loved him some Michelle Obama.
Yes, he does. That's
Ooh.
a I don't even do romance. Sharomance. He loved him some Michelle.
He sure do. He don't even be worried about Laura talking about, oh, you and Michelle, I'll deal with you later. That George loved him some
Yes,
Michelle
he does.
Obama.
And I actually love the interaction because it shows that, there is some type of maturity, not maturity, but another word I want to use that we can come together and it doesn't have to all be about you a Republican and you a Democrat and I hate you because you are and I hate you because it doesn't have to be
It was respect. You know, there was genuine respect.
but who wasn't there?
Oh, of course not. And I don't even think they invited him. I don't know what the invites was, but they didn't invite. I'm telling you who said he wasn't invited. Michelle did. Michelle said,
I
he said, what we're not gonna do,
know that's right.
because Michelle's from the South Side. If you listen to her speech, she
What
tells
we're
it,
not gonna do is
what we're
invite
not gonna do. She said, who is not coming to this
right.
event right here?
And I agree wholeheartedly because he done called them monkeys and everything.
Everything she was, you don't bring the enemy in your house.
You do not.
You don't bring the enemy in
That's
your house.
like inviting the devil.
That says she, what we not gonna do. So he didn't come. Okay, that was a side note. Yay, Obama's. I
Not
can't
one.
wait to go to it. So moving on from another stat, I think that's really important is the notion of, and you said it earlier, where they called black women welfare queens. And the notion that they were abusing, only black women were abusing the welfare system, and black people were the majority, even though it wasn't said out loud, the notion, the narrative that they were suggesting
The
was
visual.
the black women were the biggest users dependence of the Social Security, of the SNAP system, and that's not true. So, and I had to dig deep for this one too. So the stats are out there, but they don't make it easy to find. So when you're talking about SNAP benefits, you have to go to the U.S. Department of Agriculture to get any kind of data. So this is based on 2023. Based on 2023, white people are the largest racial group receiving SNAP benefits. Let me say that again. White people are the largest racial group receiving SNAP benefits in 2023, and I'm certainly that's the case in 2026.
Okay.
35.4% is their percentages of SNAP. Now, African Americans, 25.7%, and I will say, considering our the number of Black people, that is high compared to our the number of people, but it's high because of this systemic racism. There's so many things that lead to that. The next group would be Hispanic people, and they are 15.6%. And again, you would look at somebody would say, well, why are there only 15.6% of Hispanics on SNAP where we have 25.7% of African Americans on SNAP? Again, systematic racism plays a part in where we are in 2026. And it's frustrating when people want to act like that's not a thing, like it doesn't exist and it's not having an impact. The other statistic that I thought was interesting, you hear conservative and Republicans talk about how many immigrants are on SNAP. 89.4%, 90% of people who are on SNAP are US born citizens. And then the 11% that are not, there are 6.2% who are naturalized citizens. And then there's like 1% who are refugees and maybe 3% who are non-citizens. So if you're looking at, so when they're talking about this grand fraud that's happening, that's a lie. It's a
Yes.
lie. So you have maybe 3% of the people who are on SNAP who should not be on SNAP. You know, I think.
Again, it's a narrative that has been created to denigrate Black people, to make them not complicit, to make them seem less than, to create a distrust of Black people. And even within our own community, we have to fight to have significance, to be important. Do I go to the white blur? Do I go to the white dance studio? Do I go to the Black dance studio? You
Well,
know?
the other thing is how we talk to each other. And I remember I was getting my nails done and they were talking about, you know, blacks and my people, black people say, oh, you know, we're crabs in a barrel. I said, no, we're not. I said, we're not. We have uplifted each other more than we have pulled each other down. And I said, we have to get out of saying those things. We wouldn't be, if we were true crabs in a barrel, we would not be where we are today. So
So,
we can't feed into that narrative either when people try to tell us what we are, or we start to say things that are negative about us as a group. We're not crabs in a barrel. You know, despite what's on television, that's not the real world. Those women, those housewives, those basketball housewives, those are not real worlds.
how
The
did
women.
they mean that we were crabs in a barrel? Meaning that we're all in
No,
the
we're pulling
same.
each other down. You know, crabs in a barrel. You know, when
Oh.
someone's trying to get up and move up, somebody's pulling them down. You
Talking about Black people.
haven't
Yeah, I have, but I was trying to see it in this situation.
And
So.
so, but so I said, no, we're not. I said, we're not crabs in a barrel. We need to give ourselves the credit
Credit.
for what we do. You know, we uplift people, we support people, we share people, we move people forward. So we're not that, and we have to stop saying those things.
And we do that in general, not just to other Black people, but other everybody. We are a culture that embraces everybody.
Which sometimes could be a mistake. Like somebody said, you can't invite everybody to the picnic. Stop trying
That's
to
right.
say
Or the
that
cookout.
some little white person can do a little dance. They need to come to the picnic. No, they don't. Yay you.
They can't come to the
Yeah, yay you. Yeah,
cookout.
and I'm real about that. I'm old. Call me racist. Well, you know what? You can't call me racist because I ain't got no power. You can call me biased. You may
There
even
you
say
go.
prejudice, but racist I am not.
There you go.
But I'll stand by whatever it is that I say. So those are some really great statistics for people to know that we are not monopolizing anything in America, and we are not trying to take anything that's not due to us, and we are not the bad people in this country that they've tried to make us be. And then the words that we use, enslaved versus a slave suggests that that is the person's being, and that a person is not a slave, they are enslaved. That is the condition which they had no control over. And so when I talk to students, I say that I'm very specific about saying enslaved as opposed to a slave.
I
And
do the same. I make
yes.
sure that we're using the terminology enslaved because that was something that happened to us, and that is not who we are. So yeah, we the words that we use also being a slave sounds like a current situation, and I'm not currently a slave. Our ancestors were enslaved.
Yeah, right.
I try to use that terminology and pass that on as well.
Yeah, and so that was a learn for me. I was listening to this woman and she was talking about, because I've said this too, and we have this in South Carolina. I think it's down Main Street. They call it a food desert. And so the woman says a desert is something that's naturally happened. She says if there's no grocery store in a particular area, that's purposeful. That's purposeful. The other thing about grocery stores I learned when I was taking an economics class is that I assumed every grocery store carried the same thing, but they carry different things based on, and I understand that there's some variants of products that you'll carry based on the community. But what was interesting when I took this economics class is that in what they deem lower, poor Black neighborhoods, they didn't carry magazines and books to the grocery store. And I thought, oh, because the grocery stores that I went to had magazines and books to them. But those grocery stores did not.
Because we don't read.
Right, that notion that we don't read, so therefore you don't need to have the books and magazines there. It really is that assumption. You know,
Well,
so
I
that
mean, it's not just an assumption, it's a truth. I mean, not that the different stores carry different things. Because when I go up to Peak, and those of you that are not from South Carolina, Peak is an area that's a upper middle class area, and they have more, because I'm always looking for vegetarian or higher end products. And they carry more of those higher end products up in that area, or what we call the white area, than
Yeah.
they do downtown Columbia or out Garner's Ferry, which is more black, I guess, if you want to say, or even the local Food Lion and stuff like that. They do cater to who is the area that they serve, and not just the area that they serve or the cultures that they serve, but what they perceive that an area should have.
And I think more than anything, it's a perception. So it's a perception that we won't have a larger variety of fruits and vegetables because they don't eat that. It's a perception that we won't have various breads. They don't eat broche, so we're not going to carry broche there. We're not going to have sourdough there. It's a perception that we're going to have a whole section of crackling because they eat crackling. So it's a perception. It's you know who else does that? The hair
Who?
products place.
Yep.
You go to the hair products stores. The one that's off of Decker, that's run by Middle Eastern people. When you walk in there, everything, all the little clothing items that they have are just skin tight and revealing. And so I refuse to shop there. I don't have to, thank goodness. My daughter was there and she was all thrilled because they had such a large variety. But I looked at what they perceive that we wear
What, right.
and I was like, okay, this is not the place for me. Because I don't know if you have a little meeting, or you just assume this is what Black women wear, but this is the thing that you're going to carry. And everything was skin tight and holy. You know, so the belly could show, It was off the arms. It was all polyester lycra kind of things. I was like, oh, this is what you think of us as a
Us,
people.
right.
So
And we
yes.
don't all dress like that, just FYI. Just
But we
FYI.
don't. We really don't. So those perceptions, and that's from people who are not native to this country.
Right.
You know, they have this perception of this misperception of us because that's what's being put out in the media on a regular basis. So we and I think the thing about it that it's so crazy is we do wonderful things, but those are not the things that make the news. You know, when you talk about the Black excellence and Black people doing wonderful things, they don't make the news, but we have to be our biggest advocators. We have to
Right.
advocate for us more so now
Right.
than ever before.
And we used to pass things down from family member to family member. We don't do that anymore. Even the whole idea of having a family reunion has really, really died down, because at least at family reunions you could get a bit of your history, your family history and some of the things that you've accomplished or not. I mean, doesn't matter, but just knowing, I want to know that he ain't that fine looking man over there, ain't my cousin. I'm just saying. He kind of look like us, but but we don't pass that down. The idea of the griot doesn't exist any longer. The idea of sitting at the feet of your grandparents and listening to them regale their stories doesn't exist anymore.
Well, we also like I was telling somebody how I really miss Ebony and Jet. I
Yes.
really miss and I miss Essence too. Essence has turned into a man, and I used to love, let me tell you, love Essence. Essence has turned into a magazine, and now mind you, I haven't read it in a year, so I could be wrong. Has turned to a magazine in which they're, I don't know if they're shooting for people who are in a financial position beyond the regular Black person. So if you look at Essence, you know, their readers are 250,000 or more because
Oh,
all the things,
wow. Really?
all the things that they're, you know, when they're talking about places to visit and things to do,
Yeah.
and they don't have any more real reporting, you know, a lot of celebrity stuff, you know, travel places, luxurious clothing and items and things like that. It's like I can't afford a $2,000 purse.
That part.
It's like,
That part.
you know, so it's just become for me not things that it's just out of my reach. You know, it's not anything that I can relate to. You know, it's wonderful to hear about the celebrities, but they used to have stories about human trafficking, affirmative action. So they don't have those, or at least they didn't a year ago. They didn't have those kind of stories or investigative reportings or things like that. So I am not the Essence fan that I used to be. And Ebony and Jet were those places where you knew that Google had a Black lawyer. You know,
Right.
you knew that they had Black people in high places because you don't know it. There's no way for you to really know it. And
Right.
so Ebony was that kind of way to find out what are Black people doing of significance that are positive. And so we don't have those options anymore, which I think is heartbreaking that we don't have that anymore. But I love Jet. I love Jet and Ebony. Those are my little gossipy spots. And Jet, they said. So I do miss those. And I know it's hard for them to bring it back. It would be difficult to bring it back with the with social media and the internet as a go-to for people to find information. But it's so I think Ebony and Jet gave you everything you needed in one place, and now it's
Right.
fragmented. You know, I'd have
Right.
to kind of find it. I have to kind of find it.
Well, we get more on like TikTok and because you have influencers now that are giving us the whole Black history and what's happening today politically. But again, like you just said, we have to find it and we have to kind of subscribe to them or whatever so that we can have regular information or go to them so we can have regular. So it does look different than the magazine. But pretty soon it's not going to be no magazines and books. It's all going to be online. That's a whole nother conversation.
Let me tell you, I have been out of library school for almost 30 years. And 30 years ago, they said there were not going to be any books. There will always be
There's
books.
still books.
There are still books. They said 30 years ago, we were not going to have books, and there are still books. There will always be
The
books.
book. I'm writing books, just to let y'all know. Look me
Well,
up
there
on
you go.
Amazon.
There you go. So there you go. So you definitely want to make, you want books to exist because you're right. Yes, there will
Absolutely,
always be. And
absolutely.
I'm reading Black History AAF, and I have to read that in spurts because it's so hard. Because
Oh,
it's
is
like,
it?
yeah, it's hard. It's like we don't win. No matter what we do, it's not a win. It's like I'm at the part at, and they're in the middle of Reconstruction. They've taken the land, they've given it to all the black folks, and then they take the land back. Like you give us the
A lot of
land.
people don't know that.
Yeah. And for 2 years, black folks had the land.
Owned the 40
they
acres and a mule.
But yeah, they did it. They really did. And they were successful. And then they turned back around and they gave it right back to those
Can we
plantations.
name who did that?
Johnson.
That's right, President
President
Johnson.
Johnson. Yeah, President Johnson. He
When he got in office after Lincoln was shot, he gave it all back.
gave it all back. Yes, he sure did. Horrible, horrible president. Horrible president. So I can only read it in chunks because it's like, okay, we're not winning. All right, so we've done that. We're going to move on to South Carolina's governor's race. Dr. Jermaine Johnson, is that right?
Yes, Dr. Jermaine Johnson.
Is running for the
He
governor
is
of South Carolina.
the Democratic nominee for the governor of South Carolina.
And he beat out, what was his West? What was
He
his
bit
name?
out a lot of people. It was about five others going for it.
But it was him and what was the white guy? Please,
Yeah.
Webster. Was it Webster?
Webster?
It was West.
I'm gonna have to look it up.
Okay, but he beat out the white guy. He, my understanding, my brothers really followed this. The Democratic Party did not want him to run, Dr. Jermaine Johnson. They did not want him to run.
Nope.
And
Because
he,
why?
because they didn't think he could win.
That's right.
And so he had the ground support, and so he ran. And even though Benjamin Johnson and Bokari Sellers did not endorse him.
Neither did our mayor, our ex-mayor, Benjamin.
Benjamin, yeah, I said it. Steve Benjamin did not
Oh,
endorse him.
they did
Bakari
not.
Sellers did not either.
Bakari, I didn't realize Bakari didn't, but I knew that Benjamin.
Bakari, he did not. The reason I know is he was on Instagram and said, talked about that being his friend, but he was endorsing the other guy. I was like, well, then we are not
Kind of friend is
friends.
that? With that kind of friend, we
Yeah.
won't be enemies.
And he won. It wasn't a tight race. He won by a good amount.
59.7% Jermaine Johnson, 29.7% Billy Webster,
Billy
and
Webster, that's it.
10.7% Mullins McLeod.
Right. So it was Webster. It was Billy Webster.
Yeah.
So we, there's 28% of black folks in South Carolina, and I imagine he'll get 25% of the vote. I don't know how his team is working because we can't get him in by ourselves. So
Right.
I'm cross my fingers. Maybe when I say my prayers, I include him in my prayers that he has a team that can also bring in that white vote because that white vote is, and that Hispanic vote, those
Yeah.
are votes that are going to be as important to move him into that position. If that happens, that would be like an Obama moment for me in South Carolina.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's like,
Absolutely.
oh, it might be the only black governor we have for many, 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 many years, but the fact that it even happens, and unlike Obama, he is all black. Like,
Yeah.
I'm assuming his peoples came from the
He is all black.
He's all black. He ain't got no white mama, white daddy. He didn't have to make a decision that he wanted to commit to being black. He is. Him and his wife and all his babies.
And let me just say this too, because I'm sure there are people, I had a couple of people say this to me, and I was very disappointed in them saying they did not vote for him because they didn't think he could win being governor. And I was like, that is the stupidest thing I have ever heard. Like, if you, of course, if you don't vote for him, he's not going to be governor. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I voted for Weston because, you know, I think he has a better chance of
It's a
winning. No,
big, yeah.
not if a half of the people, 2/3 of the people think Jermaine could win, you know?
It's not even, to me, it wasn't who could win. It was, I looked at his stance, his proposals, his ideas as leading the state, and I looked at Webster's ideas and his proposals and his stance and things like that. And I liked what Jermaine was saying. You
And
know,
I
I
think
mean,
that's the approach that he needs to take, because we did not get a lot of him, a lot of him, look, we did not get him saying that a lot about what he's done in the community already and
right.
what he is plans to do with the state. So that needs to be a big selling point.
Right.
People need to know. Matter of fact, I worked the polls for a friend of mine who was running. He didn't win, but it's okay. Who was And one of the things I said is vote for such and such, 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 line number two. And the guy was like, who is he? What did he do? And I said, oh, okay. That's
Let me tell
case in
you.
point. People need to know who you are and what you did. So how you get that across is you use social media. You go on these interviews. You go on TV and radio. You put ads in the newspaper saying who you are. People, you can get the information out there, but they do need to know who you are. Because if not, they're just going to vote for the status quo.
Right, or the name recognition.
Name
And
recognition.
the other thing, though, just as important as the social media and the television and the print is one-on-one, small groups, because word of mouth means a lot.
Absolutely.
And so if you meet with five people and those five people tell five more people and those five people tell five more people, and they're all, you've already got a whole group of people that are going to be voting for you
Right.
based on word of mouth. And that's just as important. So I understand when people go knocking on the doors, because that face-to-face is really what some people that convincing me, talking to me and sharing with me, you know, is the thing that moves, can move people. And I am, you know, if it's a great business, I will tell anybody, if you're looking for somebody for such and such, I got such and such. You know, word
Right.
of mouth is really important. And so some
It
people, their business is made off of word of mouth. They don't have to advertise because they're solid in what they do. So their business is made off of word of mouth. So I'm excited for the opportunity for him. I hope that he has a really great campaign team that's sitting down and recognizing that the Black vote is probably solid. You know, we've looked at his record. We see what he's done. People know his family. But he's going to have to be able to bring in other groups of people as well. And so I'm hoping that he's able to do that. So,
Right.
you know, if you're not, can they still register to vote? Is there enough time to register for November, Gail?
Yes.
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 Okay. So if you're
You
listening,
can register up to, I think it's 30 days before,
30 days
but
before.
don't wait till the last minute, folks, because there's a whole lot of shenanigans going on out here.
Going on, it sure is. It
So
sure is.
don't wait till the last minute. Get out there and vote. Your vote is not only your voice, but it is your power. And if you're listening from another country, I don't know how you guys do it over there, but definitely voting here in the United States has become such an issue, and we've got to put people in place like to make laws confirm for forever. For instance, when I say forever, why should Black people have to, after 50 years, be decided that we can vote again?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, when we get the right to vote, it should be forever.
But what was said, they had he's a pastor in Sumter, very a young man. And in one of his sermons, I was flipping through social media, he said, you know, our young people did not maintain what was attained. We didn't maintain it. We got it and we're like, oh, we're good, because
Right.
it's the right thing to do.
but
but it should have been maintained with vigilance.
Yeah.
And we were not vigilant in making sure that this was maintained.
And 50 years might start sound like a long time, but it passes by in a blink of an eye. Just look. They signed that in 1963. 1963, Voting
65,
Rights
63,
was
65, or
signed.
63 or 65.
And now they just a couple of years ago had to vote again whether or not we could continue to vote, have the right to vote.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I think for folks who don't understand their vote, I always think of it in terms of money. If would you give up $100? Because that's what your vote is valuable. So
Yes.
if you think of it in monetary terms, if you think of it in that way, would you give up $1,000?
Yeah.
Would you give it up? Would you just walk away from it? Would you not be bothered with it? Because that's the value of your vote. So
It's
yes, the vote.
more valuable than that, because people have, here in the US, people have lived and died and been beaten and run amok
For the
for
vote. And
the
to
right to vote.
vote. And you know, we always reference Black people, but women as well.
Women as well.
Women as well. Women had to march. They were not nice to those women when they were marching. It wasn't like, oh, look at the ladies march. They fought hard for them not to vote. So women had to vote. They had to fight to vote.
And suffrage did not give the Black woman the right to vote.
It did not. The last group, the most adamant voters and the last group to vote are Black women. And I tell the little girls, I say, you make sure you vote.
That's right.
You know, you make sure you vote. So I do a little civics at in elementary school. I said, if you don't remember anything else Mrs. Arsenault told you, remember your vote matters and you vote.
I love the schools that used to have, we did it when I was younger, they would have us vote. We learned how to vote.
Yeah, the registration. Some
Yep.
classes do that. They have to
Yep.
register. And one teacher even pointed out, she says, you know, understanding that even as a white male, if you didn't have land, you couldn't vote.
Right.
You know,
At one
so
time it was
it
that.
was not a right that was given. And that's the other thing that people don't want to remember is it wasn't everybody could vote. It really
Right.
was. It was rich white men
That's
who were
right.
voting, and that left out a whole bunch of other people who were making decisions that really only benefited them. That mindset of having a wider lens was never, that's never been white folks' strong suit.
Right.
Their lens has always been very narrow.
Winning. Yeah.
Now, I think Black people have always had a wider lens. Whenever we are thinking and doing, it is beyond just
More
us.
global.
Yeah, really. I think
Yeah.
I think it is. I think we don't give ourselves enough credit for that.
And things are still going on right now. Like my sister, she lives out 11 miles from downtown Columbia, but she's still in Columbia, but she cannot vote for the mayor.
Really?
That's right. She can't vote for the mayor.
Is that new?
That's the St. Andrews. That's the St. Andrews area. She lives right in that St. Andrews area, and she cannot vote for the mayor of Columbia. Isn't that crazy? I was like, wait, that's taxation without representation. What's the world? That's the whole Tea Party. You know, I know the Tea Party wasn't for us, but that's the whole.
If they can vote in Irmo.
They have a mayor in Irmo.
They have a separate mayor. Okay. Okay then. Yeah, Urban does have a separate mayor now that I think about it. Okay. All right. That's something to investigate. Gotta think on that. Gotta look into that. All right. So we're gonna move on. We're gonna move on to Rick Chow. So I'm gonna let you lead that one.
In Columbia, South Carolina, in 2023, a young boy, 14-year-old,
Child.
went into a gas station slash mart, and he picked up water, and then he put it back. And as he was walking out the door, the wife screamed that he was stealing. The husband and son made him empty his pockets, and he did. And they saw he didn't have anything, but for whatever reason, they had their gun. The little boy took to running, and he was walking initially, but when he turned around and saw that they had a gun after he left, he began to run. They chased him 130 yards, which is what, a football field and a half almost. and shot him in the back. And Rick Chow was taken to court and just recently on murder charges, and just recently he was acquitted of that murder charge. They could not, they could not, the jury could not, what I guess with the evidence presented, murder means that he had intent, and he went there that morning with the intent of killing him, killing the young man, the boy. So there's been an uproar here. Some of the things that has been thrown around, and I'm not quite sure if it's actually happening, is to boycott all Asian facilities, businesses.
I don't
I've
know how true that is.
Some people are doing it. Some people are not. And actually, I saw a TikTok where it was another place, Georgia. It was another place. It wasn't in South Carolina, that they were actually boycotting Asian places. And the young man went into the hair place, Asian-owned hair store, and there was nobody in there. And that alone said a whole lot to me, because, like, wow, are we the only ones that go into the Asian hair store? I guess we are.
We are the only ones who go that they cater every product that they have in the Asian hair stores catered to Black people. And you know why they do, they started doing the Asian, well, one of the reasons they started, my understanding is, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty confident in this, that when the Asian, I hate to say Asian because that's a really
Why, yes.
wide thing. So Vietnamese, Korean, whatever group came to the United States, they were building businesses that did not require conversation. Or that they had to really be able to speak English. And so they could do these hair stores because Black people would just come and pick whatever they wanted or needed, and they couldn't consult. And I remember when my daughter was young and I went to an Asian hair store and I looked at that lady, I was like, you know what? She can't tell me nothing. Fortunately, there was a beautician in there who could kind of guide me and tell me, which is crazy that we would go into these businesses in which the people can't help you make a choice,
Right.
but because Black people knew their hair, they were able to kind of get their own stuff. But yeah, I think I have supported and shared Black businesses from even the manicure shop that I went to, which was Asian owned, they had one Black manicurist. That's who I went to. I just have not had good experiences. And
Me either.
the
That's
last
not
time I
right.
went, I had a male. And he didn't speak. He just moved my foot, whatever direction it needed to be moved. I felt more of a bother than a client or a customer. And I'm like, you know, and then I think the thing that it was, I had that extreme where it was like, I'm bothered doing doing this pedicure. And then I felt this kind of falseness of, you know, I'm walking in here and you're playing the R&B music and trying to do the lingo. And I was like, so rightfully so. And I'm sure the Instagram post of the young Asian person saying how Black people, you know, how we need them didn't help.
Oh yeah,
Yeah, I
that
think
didn't
some
help at
Black people
all.
talk, yeah, some Black people talk, do you really think that? So you know, I only ate at one Asian restaurant, so it wasn't my food. So it's not a hard boycott for me. It really isn't.
Yeah.
I don't have no problems. I none whatsoever. Tell me we need to boycott. I'm down for a cause.
You know, I would flip it to say this is a time for the Black community to look at themselves and why we spend so much of our dollars
Elsewhere.
outside of the Black community.
Yeah.
Yes, we know Walmart and all these other places are cheaper, but they deal with bulk. However, we need to begin. You know, there was a time that they didn't want us to come in their shops, or
Nope.
if they did, we had to go in the back.
Yep.
You know, they didn't do our hair. They didn't want us to try on hats or clothing or anything like that.
Yeah.
So we created our own Black Wall Streets, and then they came and burned them down. However, I laugh, not laugh. We need to come back to creating businesses and supporting businesses as well.
And not only supporting them, if you've had a bad experience, keep it to yourself. Either
Yes.
keep it to yourself or speak to the
To
owner
the owner,
and let
yeah.
them know. So if there's an adjustment or correction that can be made, that can be made.
Yeah.
We are quick to talk about a bad Black business experience, but we don't say nothing about a bad white business experience.
Right.
You know, we're quick to say, you know, the service was poor here or what have you, but we don't say the service was poor here. We went to, it's changed now. It's the barbecue place in Five Points. But it used to be right there across from Yesterday's.
Oh, yeah. Now I think it's Home Run or something.
Home something. But anyway,
Yeah.
and I used to love that restaurant.
Henry's.
No, it's not Henry's.
Okay.
But we were there, we waited an enormous amount of time before we were served. Like they literally forgot about us. They
Oh,
literally
wow.
forgot about us. And we had to say something. But if that had been a Black business, people would have carried on and carried on
Oh,
and carried
yeah.
on.
And it would have
We
been all over social media.
right. So we have to be fair in our treatment of Black. And then remember, those businesses are the businesses that employ our kids.
Yes.
You know, there's one Black we went. Now, I told my husband I would not have waited, and I've been there, and the food is good. They're produce the full time food is long. I don't know why it's that long, but it is long. And so I think we also need to have expectations. It's like, I want to support your business, but I
But
want to, right, 45 minutes I could have went in the kitchen and cooked too. So right.
right.
So
Right.
you know, so there's ways that we can help encourage these businesses to be more successful and to be better and to be patient. You know, nothing comes well in the beginning. You know, there are struggles in the beginning, and the more they're in business, the better they're going to be. And so we just kind of work with them through those growing pains, and they'll be great. You know, they'll be great. So yes, we will continue to support those Black businesses. If you know, there's many ways to find Black businesses. Ask your friends, and not just beauticians in restaurants. There are Black nailticians.
Yeah.
Of course, there are Black doctors. And I can tell you there's so few Black doctors. When I see one, I remember their names, Dr. Irvin. We all got up and hugged Dr. Irvin at the emergency room.
Now in Colombia we have a what is that booklet that's that not Black News, it's Black something that has Black businesses all over the state.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I forgot about that. We do have that. And today is Black. This week has been Black Restaurant Week. I don't know if you do that.
I didn't.
Yes, Black Restaurant Week. I did. I remember that from earlier. So it's been Black Restaurant Week. But Black Pages. We have Black Pages.
Black Pages, yeah,
Yeah,
Black
we have Black
Pages.
Pages. Yeah.
And
So we
that
have Black
and so
Pages.
if you're in South Carolina, you can grab Black Pages, especially Columbia, Greenville, and Charleston.
Right. And I'm pretty sure that it's nationwide. So you can always find, a great Black business to do whatever you need to do, whether it's home pest control,
Yeah.
whether it is
Dance.
dance and studios. It's not just hair and food. We do other things as well. So
Dentists,
please,
doctors.
dentists, doctors, my doc, both of my dentists are Black. My doctors are Black. I was purposeful in seeking those people to make sure I was heard and not
Yes.
dismissed. So,
Yeah.
and I've had wonderful services. My carpet cleaner does a fabulous job. So, oh, okay. Oh, ADHD. Do we want to try to do that quickly?
Real quick, yeah.
Okay, so.
So we're going to talk about adult ADHD. I actually do have ADHD. As an adult, I wasn't diagnosed until about 4 or 5 years ago, and it really made sense to me why I behave the I do. I wasn't aware of adult ADHD, but I do remember when my son was in third or fourth grade, that his teacher said, I took my medicine this morning and I looked at it. She said, oh, I have ADHD. And I just kind of cocked my head to the side because I'd never heard of an adult having ADHD. It's usually pinned on little black boys.
But they're not even diagnosed. It's
Not even, right.
I always think of ADHD as little white kids. I never
Really?
thought of ADHD as little black boys, but I know. And we're in all my years of the school system, when I think of ADHD, I always think of little white boys.
Really, they're beginning to diagnose more, and we're diagnosing more girls as well, and it's more common than people realize. But with
Yes.
adults, go to just look it up. There's a test. I was given a test, and I scored high. I was scoring
You.
higher than anybody else. No.
He got 100
I was like, ooh, my therapist was so much so that I'm like, I'll be walking around, I'm like, did I take my medicine today? Let me take my medicine.
Well, Trevor Noah had a really great podcast talking about adult ADHD, and in particular in the Black community, and I really just appreciated that. And I think he said some of what you said. Looking back, particularly, he talked about his childhood and growing up. He could see the things that he did that made complete sense to him, and no sense to his mom. And you have to watch it because it's really funny, because at one point his mom's like, "We're gonna beat it out of you," and it's like, "Mama doesn't work that way." Black people play it out. They had a pastor talking about, if they ain't a licensed therapist, don't go to your pastor. You need
Right,
somebody else.
exactly. Don't do
But
it.
I have said, and I believe this just in general, I think just in the nature of Black women, I think Black women are just overall ADHD, because there are so many things that we do and have to do. And you have to have the capacity, really, it is a capacity, to do multiple things at one time, and to do those multiple things at one time well, and have the high energy to do that as well. And I think that.
Well, so let's be clear. ADHD, the hyper in ADHD is not always what people think. It's not always the fidgeting or the hyper. You got to do that. It's also inattentive, and that's what I have. The inattentive. My H is inattentive.
There's three different types of ADHD, is that correct?
No, there's three. I definitely know there's two.
I think
One
they said three.
is it three?
Yeah.
I
One
know
was in
one
attendance.
is being very active.
Right.
Overly so. The other is me, inattentive, because I could be talking to you and be like, oh, look at
Squirrel.
the
Squirrel.
I'm gone. I'm gone.
Squirrel.
Like, oh, I'm coming. I'm sorry. I'm done. I don't know what the third one is. Do you have an idea what the third one
Don't
is?
remember what the third one is, but they said there were three types. Yeah. But
Okay.
inattentive, I remember the hyperactive, and I don't remember what the third one's, because I didn't think that inattentive was part of that. But when she talked about that, now if you're in the podcast, they talk about having routines and how important it is to have a routine. Is that true for you?
So it is not true for me,
Okay.
because a part of my inattentive is I get, they call it hyper focus. So if I get hyper focused, I can do all the work that I've been planning to do all week in a day. But the other part of that is the other days I'm not doing nothing. I don't want to do. So I need some hyper focus every now and then. I be calling it on like hyper focus, hyper focus.
It done.
Usually, if you would, right, I'm a great last minute deadline is at 11 and it's 10:59. I'm wonderful for
I
that.
am not. The last time I did that, I said never again. I was so stressed.
I'm a great that person. And notes for most hype. For most ADHD people, notes don't work, or you'll see 100,000 million notes because we're trying to keep up with stuff.
Right.
Writing down doesn't help, although I do make lists, but my lists are more so, this is how I learn. My list is more so that I can embed it in my brain, something I have to do. And then because I'll forget all about the list, and then I'll go back and say, "Oh yeah, I did that. Well, yay!"
What they did say is it varies.
Yes.
Everybody's is not the same.
No, it's not.
And
But there are some telltale signs, though. There are some absolutely your ADHD signs.
right. And so it was a good listen, for working with kids in school. You know, not that I know who has ADA, but there are some kids I was like, there's something over
Yeah,
there. I don't know what
I
that
can tell.
is.
I can tell right away.
There's something over there. But I've always been agreeable to movement of students. I've always been agreeable to standing. If you prefer to stand, I know that I'm not one to stay. If I'm sitting, I am moving. If I'm standing, I am moving. So that part, has never been an issue for me. But it was good because I want to be accommodating and understanding it, because it's not something that the child can control. And I like how they talked about, that's your superpower. Everybody's got a superpower. So you take that and you make that your superpower. So get tested if that's what you need to do
Yeah,
and find out.
if you have a good long-term memory but an awful short-term memory, I want to get tested. If you tend to be the person that you start something and by and then in one room and then you go to take that thing to another room and next thing you know you're in another room and another and nothing's ever finished,
Yeah.
yeah, I might want to get tested.
I know some people like that. It's like, okay, that makes sense now. And they discover, they learn it too, and it's like, oh, that makes sense now.
Yeah, that's why I said it made a whole lot of sense after I was diagnosed. I was like, oh, okay, I'm not crazy.
I think that's the biggest, listening to Trevor Noah talk, that was the biggest thing that came out. It's like, I'm not crazy.
Right.
I'm not doing anything wild and crazy,
Yeah.
so that makes it a relief. And then it allows people to make whatever adjustments they need to make,
Yeah.
find whatever tools they need to use
Yeah.
so that they can go ahead and move forward. So
And I'll say this real quick. Dance helped me a lot. And I've heard athletes say sports helped them a lot because it forces you to really concentrate. And I do know that I didn't get diagnosed until later in life, like just a few years ago, because I don't dance as much as I used to dance. So as my dance started waning, my symptoms started appearing more tangible.
Oh,
That makes
wow.
sense? Yeah, because I did not have that tool. It was my resource. It was my tool.
They
Dance
did
was.
talk about that. They talked about the athletes, and unfortunately, a lot of people who are in prison probably have ADHD as well. And as you said, a lot of young Black males may have ADHD and not be diagnosed, or and so we're not, giving them the tools that they need so that they could be successful. So it is a real thing. It's not just BAD. Sometimes it is BAD and
And sometimes it's
ADHD. Please start raising your kids, people. Please start raising your
People,
kids.
please.
Please start raising, start. Please start raising your children. All right. Gail, do you have a cold? I hope you have a cold.
I did have a quote. Let me go find it.
While Gail is looking for her quote, we're going to remind, we're not featuring a particular Black business this time around. We are just saying, folks, please, wherever you're listening, support Black businesses in your community. If it's great, share it. Word of mouth is wonderful. We have you fire, I think it's fire pizza. We're going to try out fire pizza next week. So I'm excited to do that. That's a local Black businesses that opened in Columbia. That's new.
Oh yeah, I think it's not too far from my house.
Right there on Hampton Street.
Yeah, we gotta try that out.
So they seem to stay packed. So when I'm passing by, so I'm happy for them. And then I'm just throw out for Railroad Barbecue, one of my favorite barbecue spots. Railroad is not just a restaurant, but it is a collection of Black history in South Carolina. They have done just incredible job in there, and how they have purposely put up history in there. So it's just not a barbecue spot. So yes. So yay, bike businesses. Go BBs. All right, Gail.
All right, so Alice Walker said the most common way people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any.
Oh my, that was powerful. I wasn't expecting that. Okay, so just so you know, people, she's saying y'all got power.
You
Okay,
got power.
you gotta say it again, Gail.
The most common way people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any.
All righty. You have it. Let's use it for good, guys. Everyone, have a wonderful day.
Bye.
Bye.